On the line is Tali Nates, the founder and director of the Holocaust and Genocide Center in South Africa. The reason I wanted to speak to Tali today specifically was that there was an article in the newspaper yesterday about Benjamin Netanyahu saying in an interview for the very first time ever that, as far as he was concerned, there was an Armenian genocide. Tali Nates of the Holocaust and Genocide Center, good afternoon to you.
Hi to you and the listeners.
So, what happened yesterday? Was it a bit of political expediency because the relationship between Israel and Turkey has soured that Benjamin Netanyahu said there was a genocide? Or was there a genocide in Armenia?
Maybe let's start by saying that for many, many years, the governments of Israel never recognized Armenia as a genocide for geopolitical, of course, reasons. Many countries recognize or not recognize Armenia as a genocide. Of course, the mass atrocities and the mass murder of 1.5 million Christian Armenians in the First World War happened before the word was coined, was invented by Raphael Lemkin, only in 1944. So there are countries that recognize it. For example, France recognized the atrocities in the Ottoman Empire against Christian Armenians as genocide, but Israel never did. It still doesn't officially, but it is the first time that it is mentioned, in passing at least.
You know, Tali, you're a very brave woman, because if ever there was a fault line in the world today, it revolves around that word genocide, and you're sitting right on top of it. I mean, it's what you do every day. I've just finished listening to a podcast, Ezra Klein, and I think his name is Professor Sanders or something like that, world expert on genocide, trying to deal with it in the context of what's going on in Gaza. This is sensitive territory. How are you navigating it, and do you have an official stance as the Holocaust and Genocide Center?
So let's again go back to the fact, of course, I'm a historian, as you know very, very well. We are a historical institution that looks at historical case studies. So let's just unpack a little bit, because I think for our listeners, it will be really important to understand. We throw the word as if it existed always, you know, from the time of the Bible. It did not. It is two words put together, actually Latin and Greek words put together, genocide or sid, genocide by Raphael Lemkin. He was Polish. He was Jewish. He came from Lvov. I really recommend for people to read East-West Street. This book really by Philip Sands tells you about the birth of Raphael Lemkin in Lvov and how he invents the word, but also speaks about crimes against humanity, about the Nazis and much more. But back to the word. So the word is really invented when Lemkin, that escapes from Poland, Lvov was in Poland before the war, to the United States. He invents the word because Churchill says during what we now call the Holocaust, the Shoah, we are witnessing a crime without a name. And Lemkin feels that you do need a name, and cut a long story short, he invents the word. The word is genocide. It is used in Nuremberg, but in passing, not as a law, because in 1945, 1946, when the Nuremberg trials happen, there is, of course, no law on genocide. That is only born in 1948, in December, with the United Nations coming to being and then passing the Convention for the Prevention and Punishment of the Crime of Genocide. So sometimes we jump into the word without knowing what is the word, what is the law, and what does it mean. And the word is used all the time, but only since 1994. So from 1945 to 1994, it's not used. And then after Rwanda in 1994, of course, the terrible mass murder of almost a million, mainly Tutsi, in Rwanda, the trials in the International Criminal Court for Rwanda is starting this use of the law of genocide. And then in Yugoslavia, former Yugoslavia, and so on. So it's really, really complicated. So when you ask me, you know, genocide, not genocide, what is genocide? This is exactly what we're doing at the Holocaust and Genocide Center. We try to understand what is recognized as genocide. Only four cases are recognized as genocide by the United Nations. It's so complicated. And we work very hard to actually understand and give information, truthful information, accurate information to those that are coming to our center.
Just off the top of your head, this is really interesting stuff, Tali, which were the four officially recognized genocides that have happened?
So the United Nations only recognizes four through trials. So it's not an opinion. It is a legal definition and legal trials. And the first one is the Shoah and the Holocaust. And that is, of course, the Nuremberg trials, the Einsatzgruppen trials, the doctors' trials, and so on. Mm-hmm. The second is Rwanda, April to July 1994, the genocide against the Tutsi population in Rwanda. The third recognized one was Srebrenica. We are commemorating 30 years on the 11th of July. This year, we commemorated the murder of men and boys in Srebrenica, in what is today Bosnia Herzegovina. And that is, of course, Serb forces inside Bosnia, but also the whole complexity of former Yugoslavia, the fall of Yugoslavia, of Tito, you know, and only the 8,200, 8,700, they're still discovering some bodies even today, are recognized as genocide, not the war and not what happened in the rest of Bosnia-Herzegovina. That's the third case study, and that happened in 1995, as I said, the 11th of July. And the fourth one, only recognized lately in trials in Cambodia, is the Khmer Rouge, of course, that we know, that happened between 1975 and 1979. And that is, again, not all Khmer that were killed, because probably 2.5 million were killed, mainly Khmer people. But it's not them. It's the very small minority, few thousands, that were Chem Muslims or Vietnamese. So it's very specific how the UN is recognizing genocide. And Armenia is not, sadly, yet one of those recognized. Yazidis and others are not yet recognized by the UN.
This is new to many of us, Tali. Are you able to distinguish for me the distinction between a genocide and a war crime?
Absolutely complicated question. We need probably about an hour, but good news on the SoundCloud, Spotify, and YouTube of the Johannesburg Holocaust and Genocide Center, we have a top criminal lawyer, international criminal lawyer, Dr. Miss Paru, actually unpacking it, because there are only three international criminal criminal laws, and that is war crime, crime against humanity, and genocide. And she, through the podcast, explains exactly the history of those and the distinctions and parallels, because some of them have parallels. You know, they both will have, for example, crimes against humanity and genocide will have persecution or extermination. So she, as a criminal lawyer, is unpacking the differences. A lot of words are being thrown, for example, ethnic cleansing. That is not an international criminal law. It is a word. It is used, especially in former Yugoslavia, especially actually in Bosnia-Herzegovina, but it is not an international crime.
That's a really interesting technical answer. What I gathered from the podcast I listened to between Ezra Klein and Philip Sands was, does it really matter?
Yes. And Philippe is excellent. And as I said, his books are very important. I'm actually reading at the moment his new book about the Nazis in Chile and how the influence of Nazis that escaped to South America, in this case Chile, and Augusto Pinochet and the trial, of course, and the arrest of Pinochet. Really interesting book, his new book. But his book, The Red Line, of course, about the escape of Nazis to Latin America is also worthwhile reading. Is it about the word? Is it about the law? Is it about the humanity of the people? Is it about the people? And this is for all of us to ask, you know, what is happening when war is happening? What is happening, you know, around the world as we see it in 2025?
Tally Nates, that's a good place to leave it. Once again, thank you for talking to us on Chai FM. And thank you for mentioning those podcasts which are available from your organization. I think it's incumbent upon us to go and educate ourselves. So thank you for that. Thank you for chatting to me this afternoon.